Welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast on the 17th of December, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Coming up, Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller on the news, including Randy Crone staying at the head of Indiana Farm Bureau. And we will talk crop insurance options for the coming year. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com and stop by your local branch. Also coming up today, HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. He has a dry day in store today, less mild air. And Monday, grains were mostly higher, but soybeans sold off. We'll have settlements and market analysis with John Zanker coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Crone, re-elected president of Indiana Farm Bureau and thinking about crop insurance coverage for next year. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Indiana Farm Bureau held their annual state convention this past weekend in French Lick. Randy Crone was re-elected as the organization's president at the annual meeting on Saturday. He ran unopposed.
Hey, it's an honor to be able to serve such a great organization. And, you know, when I was on stage and you look across all our county leaders and, you know, I'm humbled by their support and giving me the ability to be able to lead. And, you know, when I think about this and all the work we've got ahead of us, from water issues to property tax to trying to get a farm bill passed, there's a heavy workload. But I am happy to lead this organization, but it takes all of us together to make change.
Crone was first elected to the role of INFB president in 2015. Prior to that, he served for 14 years as the organization's vice president, with this three-year term putting him up over 25 years of leadership to INFB. I asked him how much longer he was looking to serve.
I think the good Lord will give us a sign of when it's time to maybe turn the reins over to somebody else, but we'll evaluate that here in a year or two when it's needed.
Crone told Hoosier Ag Today the weekend was full of celebrating successes and accomplishments. Indiana Farm Bureau has experienced 9 continuous years of membership growth, with this year being the largest one-year growth since 2002. He credits the existing membership for the work done there. Given what's happening right now with Illinois Farm Bureau, Crone did comment on the value of the partnership with Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance.
I am proud here in Indiana, the relationship we have with Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. And I serve as president of both organizations. I attend a lot of meetings, but their leadership is very supportive and we work together. I think the synergies of the two of us working together make us better on both sides. And I'm proud of that. And, you know, I've had multiple conversations with Kevin Murphy, the CEO of the insurance company, and he will tell you the same thing, that being together is better. So what's happening to the state to the west of us, I'm confident it won't happen here in Indiana because we see the benefit.
Crone went on to say that if for some reason that partnership were ever terminated, it would be a huge mistake that they would ultimately regret. I know you might already be thinking about planting season next year, but it's definitely time to be thinking about crop insurance coverage. C.J. Miller joins us with some options you might want to consider.
We're looking at low prices, higher inputs, and so therefore that's going to lead to tighter margins.
And that's Jamie Baum, an insurance officer with Farm Credit Mid-America. She offers this advice for farmers.
I really am encouraging operations to be working with their crop insurance agent to understand what bushels and what revenue they're guaranteeing themselves. So I'm really focusing on evaluating net return per acre on their crop insurance products to make sure that our operations are getting the best bang for their buck. And then just really looking at what bushels per acre can be safely forwarded market and what dollar per acre an operation needs to be at to at least break even in this environment that we're going to be in.
She says that enhanced coverage options, or ECOs, will come into play this year.
It is highly subsidized. It went from about 44% to roughly 65% subsidized. So if it makes sense for an operation to be on a county plan, that's something that we're going to look at pretty closely. And then also just keeping in mind our ARC and PLC elections and what makes sense for this year.
One tool that Farm Credit MidAmerica has is a program called Optimum to help support their customers.
It allows us to not only look at data on a county level, but it also allows us to look at our customers or prospects on an individual level. It bases it on their APH only, and it brings everything that you could possibly want. So trigger yields, guarantees per acre, indemnity probability into one easy to understand format for our customers to make really knowledgeable decisions.
To learn more, visit Farm Credit MidAmerica's website, fcma.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it. Operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through the 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualified attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save an additional 30%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
A dry Tuesday sits ahead of us here, although whether or not we see beautiful sunshine is still up in the air. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. Let's take a look at your forecast update. We are not warm and we are not cold today. Not nearly as mild as what we saw over the weekend, but cold air still wants to stay parked to our north. We're kind of in that in-between zone today, and I think because of that, we see a decent amount of on-again, off-again clouds. There will be some sunshine, but no more than a mix of clouds and sunshine overall. We've got another wave of moisture that wants to try and shoot toward our region tomorrow. Overnight tonight through tomorrow, and it's going to play into all that we mentioned already, that warm air versus cold air battle. It's all going to be part of this. Now, the good news is the big precipitation, like the strong thunderstorms, those that stay to our south over the Tennessee Valley and pretty much south of the Ohio River in general. But we do still see a little bit of moisture trying to move through the Hoosier State for your Wednesday. Scattered rain showers down south and maybe some snow showers far north. We're talking liquid equivalent of a few tens, hundredths to a tenth or two, that is all. But it's still around, so a lot of clouds. And then tomorrow definitely brings air. Wednesday sees temperatures falling off relatively quickly as we switch into a different air mass. That colder air mass is in control then for the rest of the week on through Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There is a Clipper system trying to move through the Great Lakes region for Thursday afternoon, Thursday night, and early Friday. I think we see cloud cover offshoots of that, maybe a few flakes in northern parts of the state, but nothing else otherwise. We do see lake effects set up to finish the week Friday afternoon, Friday evening into early Saturday, but then it dies off as well. The cold air wants to park here all the way through Christmas Day, and on Christmas Eve, we can see some scattered snow showers coming through. A front that can give us a coating to a couple of inches. We'll see whether that holds together, but it is cold enough for that. Now, once Christmas is done, That's when temperatures moderate. We see a lot of snow melt for the 26th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Have some rain in there as well, particularly the 28th into the 29th. So we get quite mild as we head toward the end of the month. Maybe another strong weather system right ahead of New Year's Eve. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Gains in corn futures by the end of trade, down in beans and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. Near the end of the session, I checked in for that with John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. John, the grains worked a little higher most of the session, and wheat then towards the end of trade sold off. Beans, however, under a bit of pressure and a number of challenges there. The NOPA crush was pretty disappointing. Let's start there.
Yeah, it came in at 3.5 under trade expectations, so that was a little bit of negativeness. We were already under some pressure before that, so that just added to it. Exports were good, 61.6, not as impressive as the last several weeks, but we're on the downswing there, Andy. And, you know, before we hit January, we might be in the 40s or 50s. So I think most of the weakness in soybeans continues to come from, you know, two different places. We have a problem with oil. And, you know, what's going to happen with biodiesel after the first of the year or after the new administration takes office. And the rain in Brazil continues to come. They're on target for an exceptionally good crop at this point. Starting to see some dry patches here and there in Argentina as well. But in general, on target for a big crop. USDA currently has them at 169 million tons. I'm starting to see estimates over 170 million tons. At 170 million, we're looking at a potential increase in South American production of over 650 million bushels, Andy, and that spells some big trouble for soybean futures during the spring and summer.
Meanwhile, corn and wheat higher through much of the trading session. And you mentioned the soybean export inspections also in the range of estimates for corn and wheat inspections. So that was a good number.
Strong corn at 44.5. I've been very impressed. You know, every week I mention it, but somewhat surprised since last summer and certainly in the fall here. But we've just had a very good stretch of export sales and shipments for both corn and soybeans, but corn's very impressive, and I think that's being reflected in futures. We hit that 450 mark versus the March last week, and that was a selling point for us, and I think we have a chance of getting back there and seeing if we can shake any more farmer bushels loose.
We do have a full week of trade this week. However, Christmas and New Year's breaks set in starting next week. But the holidays are very near. Is that having an impact?
Well, I think it'll slow things down a little bit. I think the last week or the week before we talked about 10 out of the last 10 years, we've seen a rally in corn from Thanksgiving into the end of the year in 10 of those 10 years. So that's impressive. So far, that stat's holding true. Soybeans, not quite as consistent. And we're struggling there. I think we're down since the Thanksgiving holiday. So I don't know that the trade pays a whole lot of attention to that. But technically, we have some pretty good support for corn, but things are looking really shaky for the soybean complex, Andy. And that, you know, oil, again, having another rough day, and could be some rough times ahead for the soy oil side of things.
John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities. John's number is 866-837-9027. Now the settlements from Monday trade up 0.75 on the March corn contract. It goes to 445. May 451.75, up 2.5. July up 2 cents, now sits at 455. 6.25 down. January beans 982. March goes to 986, a loss of 9 cents. 996 on the May, down 9.5. And Monday, March wheat went 2.25 lower at 550. The meats lower too. February live cattle 189.97, and February lean hogs 83.55. Both losing $2.05. I'm Andy Eubank with the Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.